Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
All right. Well, so we've been in this year and a half long series now called Jesus for Life. And most recently here, we've been looking at passages of the scripture after Jesus rose from the dead. And so he made all these specific appearances. He made lots of appearances, apparently, that aren't even recorded in scripture, but we've kind of been going through all the different appearances that are there in scripture to lead up to the point where he ascends back to heaven. And so as we're kind of at the end of that, what we thought would be great would be to actually talk a little bit about what Jesus has done in some specific lives, right? So not just, okay, here's what we see in the Bible and here's what Jesus did, but let's just spend a little time with some testimonies. And so this week I've got a couple people, and then next week, actually, Emily McCall will be up here, and she'll be spending basically the teaching time doing kind of a, I don't know exactly what she's going to do, but the idea is to have a little bit of a hybrid between a teaching, but also her being able to share a lot of her story, especially for those of you who don't know her as well, but really for even for all of us, God's done a lot of amazing things in her life. So we'll get to hear about that. So today, though, we have Tabby Bacchus and Stephen Schulte. So come on up. Let's go. You guys are so good. I didn't even have to say give them a warm welcome or anything. You just did it. So good job. All right. So since my mic plan was already a failure, so you're going to take that. And you're going to take this, and we're going to hope everything works, right? Because that's what we do here. If you've been around at all, you know that basically our church and technology is like just it's never great. So, but we try our best. So Stephen and Tabby are both two of my favorite people, but I've known Stephen for about 20 years and Tabby for only two. And so, but you've quickly, I think, and I don't think I speak for just myself, but you've very quickly become in that category of favorite people, you know. So it took Stephen 20 to get there, but you, it's a lot faster. So. But we are, he's giving me the glare. We just really want to kind of hang out for a little while and just share a little bit of what God's been doing in your lives. And so why don't we just start off with just a little bit of, like, I don't know, background. Did you grow up in church? What was kind of your concept of God, et cetera? Stephen, what do you think?
I grew up in the church. I want to say I was like 5 when I gave my life to Christ, and just grew up in many churches
at the beginning. Yeah,
at the beginning, and yeah, just going around. The church was always present in my life. God was always present in my life.
Yeah. So you had a concept of God from early on. Yep. Tabby.
I did not.
Oh. Is this work? Yeah. Oh, there we go.
I did not grow up in a church. This was actually the first church that I had ever, like, stepped foot into.
So you had never gone to church even, like, Christmas or Easter or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay. No, did you have any, like, concept of God at all?
Yeah, I had concept of God. I didn't believe, like, I didn't think he was as cool as everybody said he was, but, I mean, you know, I mean, but, yeah, I had concept of God, but,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's out there or something.
Yeah, he's
like
out
that.
There somewhere, but yeah. I mean, doing all that stuff, like, I don't know about that.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. So you guys are coming from a little bit different spaces, but I think both of you have some things that you're wrestling with through life, right? So, Tabby, you want to tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, so, like, before, pre-Jesus?
Pre-Jesus,
all right.
Yeah.
So,
because you didn't have any problems after Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's been sunshine and rainbows. I mean, nothing but sunshine and rainbows. Okay. Yeah, totally. Right. Yeah,
so we're only
no
going to talk. Yeah, so we're going to talk about before Jesus.
Yeah.
Which for Stephen will, of course, be before he's five. So we'll concentrate on that phase of his life. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so like I said, the first church I have been to is this one. I grew up really bad anxiety. Kind of slipped into this more like deeper like depression. I was in, and I ended up coming here to the Vineyard. And
so, I mean, how did you end up coming here?
Emily McCall.
Just that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Just Emily
yeah,
McCall.
Emily McCall. Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
What was it that drew you to come here, or to look for something, or what did that look
so
like?
I was in counseling, and I was going to a Christian counselor, mm-hmm. which just so happened to be like a Christian counselor. Like I did like the Tinder search for counselors. So like I looked at their
okay,
pictures.
Okay, so things that have never been said before.
Yeah. So I did like the Tinder search, you know. So like I looked at their pictures and I judged them and I either swiped or I didn't.
Yeah.
And this one was the only one that wasn't looking at me weird. But
in the picture.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she was the only one not judging me.
Yeah.
In her photo.
Okay.
You know. So, but she was a Christian counselor.
Right.
And I was like, no, like come on, like
that was a negative because you weren't looking for that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went anyway because I swiped, you know. But I went, and it wasn't until like a couple sessions she started like easing into like, you know, the suggestion like, hey, maybe you should go to a church, maybe you should like do these things, and I didn't. It wasn't until a car ride to Branson to pick up my mom's friend who was super Christian. Super Christian freak.
not like any of these people out here, but yeah.
But anyway, she was just saying this like these things in the car, and I'm like, how could you possibly know that? Like just things like about like, oh well, you know how that is. You know how it is to like feel this way or like this. I'm like, and I remember getting so angry because I thought my mom like told her all these things. So I pull over at a gas station, and I pick up my phone and I call my mom and I'm like, how much do you talk to her? And she's like, I don't. Like, and I believe my mom. Like if she you know. Told my business. She's gonna tell me she told my business. That's just, you know. But anyway, it was she didn't talk to her. She just knew all these things. So I was like, okay, maybe God's trying to talk to me. This is a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to Emily and ended up here.
Yeah. Yeah. So Stephen, for you, so you accepted Jesus when you were five.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going around different churches, you're growing up. What was life like for you?
Life was a lot of routine, but internally, life was like a lot of self-doubt and feeling invisible, like even in my family. And I think just that really pushed me to a desire to hurt others in just so I would feel noticed, like something I was doing in life was impacting the world. Like there were times when I think I was probably like eight, there were a couple times I like in the middle of the night snuck out of my bedroom window and hid in my dad's trunk.
Wow.
And just so in the morning they would be afraid of what happened to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I got uncomfortable and went back to bed.
it's probably cold out there a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, that's just kind of what continued on, that
yeah,
it's just nothing about me mattered or would ever be worth anything.
Yeah, yeah, struggling with significance and all that. So, yeah. So you're the youngest of four.
I am.
I'm the youngest of four also. So, so yeah, I definitely get that, right? There's this getting lost and then, I don't know, would you say like just self-confidence and stuff like that as well as a struggle?
Yeah, feeling like I wasn't capable of anything, that I would always have to be taken care of mm-hmm. my whole life. And
yeah. So what were, for you, what were some of the consequences of some of those things that were resident internally there?
I think largely I would just not make an effort and really not, even though, like, you know, my parents would tell me how much they love me and do think great things to show me how they love me, I could not accept that. Mm. And then just, you know, as I grew older, just feeling like I had no guidance, no way through life. Like, I did start turning to just ways to numb those feelings.
Yeah.
Especially like late teens and into college, like substance stuff came up. And
yeah.
As also a young man coming of age in the internet times,
yeah.
Struggles there, which because there are children present, I won't go into depth with, but
right.
they're hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just started seeing people as commodities that I could use and discard because that's how I felt I deserved to.
Hmm. Yeah, you felt like you were sort of someone who was being used or a commodity as well. Yeah, yeah. Wow. So if we go back to Tabby here, so you, in some of our conversations, I know it was like you mentioned, you were struggling with anxiety. I guess, what did that kind of look like for you? I mean, was it, it's kind of intense? I mean, intense enough to seek counseling, I guess? And
yeah. So just like anxiety attacks, panic attacks, things like that. It got to a point where like I said, depression kicked in really bad and just could not get out of bed. Like, just tired all the time and sleeping all the time. I had like this really poor body image, and I like wasn't eating, and that actually turned into much more later on. But it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So if we kind of fast forward into, I guess, Emily McCall, did we make the connection with how Emily came into the picture here?
How did I meet Emily?
How did you know Emily? Oh, yeah. Did the Lord just like teleport her into your...
Yeah, he was like, he gave me an image. Actually my mom babysat her kids and her brother's kids. So I had known her, she's known me since I've been like itty bitty.
Okay, yeah.
So she actually, I think she invited us to like a Christmas service here or something once, and I had no desire.
You're like, no, thank
whatsoever.
You.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm good.
It probably wasn't a good one anyway, so.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. It was probably terrible.
Well, you weren't here yet, so.
Then
I mean,
it had to have been.
Yeah,
terrible,
you weren't in the van, so clearly.
So, but no, so I started coming here, and fast forward, like, I'm here, and I remember one of the first people I met, they said something to me. It was actually Lindsay. It's crazy that she's sitting right here. But she said, I'm glad you're here.
Hmm.
And I didn't know at the time, like, why that felt so powerful in that moment. Like, I didn't understand why, like, that felt different. But now I know that was the first time God really spoke to me.
Hmm.
And it was just a feeling I can't even, it's...
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, God does speak through Lindsay Matouche. It's very true. Yeah. What else were you kind of feeling as you came into the church space? I mean, like you said, you'd been avoiding it, you know, you'd not want to set foot in it.
Yeah,
like,
so I was super nervous, obviously, coming in. And then once I came in, it was just, I was super welcomed, and there was no judgment. I could just be completely open and honest, and it was amazing. And I mean, like, it only took 3 weeks before I like gave my life to Jesus. So it was crazy. But.
That's good. 3 weeks. All right. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good benchmark, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. So I remember that because I happened, you know, through no effort of my own, but I was teaching that Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I was at the end, and I mean, I think normally I try to remember just to make sure that we give an invitation for people to accept Jesus. And you know, and if you're listening today, and it's like you don't know Jesus, you haven't made a commitment to Him, like we like to actually give that opportunity to say, hey, look, today would be a great day to do that. But I actually had totally not done that. I'd kind of blown through that, and then Anna. Comes up to me, you know, during prayer ministry time, and she's like, "Hey, you need to really make sure that you give an invitation." And so I did, and
mm-hmm. yeah, and it was so crazy because Emily and I were sitting right there, and I was talking to her. I was like, "What do I do now? Like, what's next? Like, I love it here. Like, I'm feeling all these things. What comes next?" And she's like, "Will you give your life to Jesus?" And I'm like, "How do I do that?" And she's like, "You go up there." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm good. no thanks. I'm out." And then you had come up, you had came up on stage and you said that. And we instantly, I just looked at her, I was like, uh-oh.
We're in and, trouble.
So yeah, I came up and gave my life to Jesus. And got, Anna was there and Emily was there. And it was great.
That's awesome. So come back to Stephen. So you were talking about, just kind of the effects of the way that you were feeling internally and kind of struggles with that through time. I guess, what did God start to do with that, as you sought Him out?
I think it's interesting, before like I ever got to my worst places with this, like before I ever got to the points where like I honestly wanted to die, mm-hmm. I had been in just in experiences like where I had been just filled with the Spirit, where I could not move and I was just surrounded with love. And I think, like, God knew where I was going, and mm-hmm. so he had given me stuff younger as a foundation. So every time I have been just in a spiral and I get to the bottom, I always feel God there saying, "Okay, you know who I am, you know what's true, now what are you gonna choose?"
Mm. So you had like these kind of anchors from your past that you knew.
Yeah.
Like, you knew, even though right now I feel horrible, I feel unloved, I feel like maybe I don't even want to live, but you knew you had anchors that said something different.
Yeah, and I think little by little over the years, God has been teaching me that what I feel has very little to do with what's true about me.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And so here more recently, I'll just highlight. So, I mean, there has been this process where you kind of have struggled and gotten to hard places, mm-hmm. and then you've had a bit of a choice, right? Like, to say, what do you choose? Like, I guess in those times when you had that choice, like, what does that feel like?
Um, It feels like the being obedient in the simplest thing I can do, which is come to church, ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So here more recently, though,
yes,
maybe in the last year, COVID, two yes. years, I don't know, something, right?
Yeah.
feels like
long it's been.
However long it's been, in eternity, I don't know, 500 years.
I only know it's Sunday because we're here.
Yes. We otherwise have no frame of reference, yes.
Wait, it's Sunday?
So what has Jesus been doing in that period?
So in this last year and a half, like, God has really been highlighting, like, I don't know, he's been growing my confidence in the foundation he's put in me over the years. Like, whenever, like, stress, anxiety, or stuff comes up over COVID and the way of the world right now and all the chaos, like...
Has there been chaos? Is that, that's how you would describe it?
The way I look at it is, or the way I can see it is, and I think he's pointing me to this, is like, you have been through way worse stuff that you've had to push through, so, like, a lot of this petty BS is not gonna hold you back.
Mm.
So just cling to what you know, just.
Yeah.
Cling to me, cling to who I have said you are, and not like all those lies that you are gonna mess up, you're gonna fail, eventually you're just gonna give up.
Yeah.
Cause like-
Cause that's not true.
It's not true. Yeah. To me, you are a prince in my kingdom. You are something of beauty.
Yeah. You told me about some specific things that that God had shown you, or pictures or something.
Yeah.
Could you describe some of that?
A little bit ago, I was getting prayer, and like God gave me this picture of me just standing in this line, the front lines of a battle, and it was just collapsing. Like all the other soldiers along the line with me were just dropping their weapons and running, and I just felt God telling me, no, you stay, you stand, because they need someone to show them.
Mm.
And then also, and this one's gonna be a lot harder to get through.
I hear you.
As I was just kind of preparing for today and going over my story, I was thinking back to probably one of the hardest moments in my life is when my son Walter was 7 weeks old. He had some sort of virus that he was severely dehydrated, could not keep anything in his system. And we went to the emergency room, and I stood there like over him, just holding him, as nurses were just trying over and over to find a vein to get any sort of IV into him. Yeah. And he was just screaming in pain and looking into my eyes, not understanding. And just as God was showing me that picture, like he was telling me, this was you. This was you back then. And I was in the same spot. I was holding you.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that.
Thank you, Craig.
Oh, look at that. Craig, so good. Nicely done. You've been in the vineyard for a little while. That's good. You know to do it. All right. thanks for sharing that. I love crying on stage, by the way. It's great. I mean, I recommend it highly. Not at all. But So, Tabby. So you gave your life to Jesus. What was that experience like? And I guess what has Jesus done since then or after that?
So that was kind of the end of it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was the end of it. Okay, that's fair.
No.
We want more.
No. It was just experience, like almost like this weight was just lifted off of me, and it's one of those feelings that's just not, it's indescribable, like it literally. And but no, since then I've been. Yeah, he's put me in like this position of worship, I've been stepping out into like youth ministry a little bit. I started this youth band.
Yeah, Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Spaghetti and Meatballs, yep, Spaghetti and Meatballs. Yeah.
Best band name ever.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
That was all them, yeah.
You didn't
stop
it, though,
we all have like
so
nicknames,
good.
Too.
You do?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm Time.
Time, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the herb or like the unit of measurement?
It's like, yeah, that.
Okay.
I don't cook. Yeah, whatever you use that for.
Okay.
They gave that to me though, because I'm always on time.
There you
like,
go.
Actually, yeah. Elijah bought me a clock as like a gift from this band.
Yeah.
It was funny.
That's nice.
But no, we all have like our stage names and stuff.
Nice.
So I've been doing that. Worship. Started singing.
That's kind of interesting, right?
Yes.
So you sang a lot before,
no.
And you were, no,
no,
not at all?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
No.
Like?
Like tone deaf.
Like tone deaf.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
It was bad.
Yeah. And you were telling me that, I don't know, somehow it happened that you started singing.
Yeah, so it was like, I'd be here, and they'd be like, oh, you should sing, and like, especially Craig, like, oh, you should sing, and I'm like, no, like, you do not want that.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen. But no, and then I started, like, singing a little bit with the youth band, and then I was like, whoa, what was that? What? That's kind of like, it was just a...
You're like, that's not terrible.
Like, that's a newfound talent. Like, thanks, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thanks. So I've been singing. I actually just wrote my first, like, worship song.
Yeah.
Just lots of good stuff since Jesus.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been... Oh, I mean, it's been... Obviously, for us, it's been a huge, huge blessing to have you around. Tabby, we've had like through the whole pandemic here, it's been we've been sometimes a little light on on having worship team members among other things, but Tabby's been on let's go with 90% of the time, something like that. So that's pretty good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. And she loves it.
I love it so
yeah.
Much.
Any okay, you know what? I've got a second too. I'm gonna throw just I didn't talk to you guys about this at all, so we'll see how this goes. But I'm gonna throw one other thing out there. The two of you are also I said you're good friends of mine, but the two of you are also good friends.
Yeah. Yes.
So I was just wondering if you could very quickly just tell the other person something that you appreciate about them. Is that fair? Do you think you can do that?
That's asking a lot.
Should I make Steven go first?
I'll go first.
Okay,
I'll go first.
All right.
Your accepting nature. And no matter what I do, like it's okay. And you always make me realize that, and I really appreciate that about you. And yeah,
that is a reflection of a reflection of God, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, this is, by the way, Stephen was like, you need to make sure that you tell me some of the things that you might be asking, so that I don't ramble. He said, right? And I was like, Stephen, I don't you don't ramble. I've never heard you ramble before in my life. He's like, that's being quiet and introvert. If I'm saying nothing, that's rambling in Jerusalem. But there we go. So, but we will wait. It's okay.
Tabby. I appreciate how vulnerable you are and how much you were willing to love others. Like, I see you with my kids. I know how much you love them. And, like, that is priceless.
Mm. Awesome.
Yeah, I do love them.
They're great. All right, let's give these guys a hand. Thank you. All right. That was great. Okay, so I just got a couple of minutes before we bring the worship team back up. So I was kind of thinking just about the tie here between. I mean, obviously we love to hear good stories and we love to hear about what God's doing. But like why is that so important, right? Like why does that matter other than kind of it feels good or it's nice to hear. And I think it really, in the context of what we've been talking about, a couple of weeks ago, when Gino Olson was here, we talked about the Great Commission and how Jesus, in sort of the most important, one of the most important things he says is he sends his disciples out. He says to go to all nations, and we kind of focused on this idea of it being all nations and all people, right? But part of that was about what they were doing, right? They had to be out there. They had to actually give themselves to that task, and they had to use words. They had to say things. And then there's, and David mentioned this passage last week. There's also this passage in Acts chapter 1. And this will just take a minute. Don't worry, this is not a sermon. All right. In Acts 1, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, this is actually the last thing that he says to them, okay? And so they are gathered around him, the disciples, and they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel, right? So here's Jesus who has actually risen from the dead, all right, at this point. And as Gina, I love what Gina said, if somebody tells you that he's going to die and then rise from the dead, and then he goes ahead and rises from the dead, you should listen to what he says, right? So, and I think similarly here, we're going to see it when someone says something and then you watch them ascend into heaven in front of your eyes, you should also listen to them as well. So, but they're asking him this question. They're still kind of focused on Jesus. What are you going to do within our expectation, within the things that we want, right? Which is this: to restore the kingdom of Israel. And so he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, like if you have conversations with Jesus and you ask him things and he kind of answers your question, but not exactly, right? Like this is kind of this, right? He says, you know what? I don't want you to be focused on what you're expecting and the things that you've got in your brain. What I want you to be doing is focusing on something else, okay? And this is what he wants them to focus on. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right, so first of all, he doesn't limit it to the kingdom of Israel, right? They're focused on just what's right in front of them. He says, you need to go to all the ends of the earth, right? But the main thing is, he says, you will be my witnesses. You've got to be in a place where you can tell what you've seen and what God has done. And I can tell you, that is not, I've heard that verse my whole life, been challenged by it, I'll say, a lot of times, right? You'll be my witnesses. I think I've not always done that very well, if at all. There's something that's difficult about being able to tell your story. And actually, even for Stephen and Tabby, I mean, they looked incredibly relaxed and did a great job up here. But there were challenges in doing that and choosing that and being able to come to a place where they could speak some things out loud. And it's kind of always like that, right? But that's what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to be his witnesses, to be able to talk out, say out loud the things that God has actually done in your life. And that's a lot of how Jesus is among us. And so, and there we go. And after this, he ascends to heaven. So that's just for exclamation point. So this week, I will do a quick invitation here, as we do every week. So moving yourself towards Jesus, and the worship team, go ahead and come on up. Moving yourself towards Jesus. So I want you to spend some quiet time this week. Sometimes, you know, in our lives, we're just always busy, right? Going from one thing to the next. And we're often, if there's anything that we are reflecting on, it's on the things that we're struggling with, right? The challenges that we have in front of us. Some of you guys have really, really monumental challenges in front of you, especially, right? But I want you to spend some time this week asking Jesus to show you some examples, to remind you maybe of some examples of how he's moved in your life. And you know what? You can do this, even if you would say, I'm not really sure what I think about God. I'm not sure about this Jesus person. You could still do this. You could still actually just sit down and pray and say, okay, God, if you're out there, if you're real, you know, fine. Tell me something that you've done in my life. And I bet you can come to me and get your money back if it's not true. But I bet you if you do that, God will actually say something, all right? So spend some time asking Jesus to show you some examples how he's moved in your life. Reflect on that. Spend some time with that. And then, moving others towards Jesus, tell a friend who isn't as close to Jesus about one of those examples, okay? So that's a challenge, right? Like, can you actually, you know, hear something that God's done and then make some sort of decision to say, okay, I'm gonna go try to tell somebody about what God did in my life. So that's the invitation for you guys this week. So why don't you go ahead and stand, and Nathaniel and Emily will lead us into a time of worship. Let me just pray for us as we get into it. So, Holy Spirit, we do just invite you right now. We love that you move in our life, in our lives, Lord. And even sometimes when, like Stephen was saying, even when sometimes it does not feel like that at all, or we know that you are actually still at work. And so we just want to say right now we welcome that in our lives. And we welcome just all the things that you want to do. And so as we just come into this time of worship, just open our hearts, Lord. Help us to be able to connect with you. Let us know your presence so that we can worship you.